Fourth, the truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering. How can we remove the causes of suffering? The Buddhist teachings describe the process in great detail, and there are many teachings, including the four immeasurable states of mind, the four universal vows, the threefold training, the five precepts, the 10 wholesome actions, the seven limbs of enlightenment, the noble eightfold path, the 37 practices to enlightenment, and the six perfections. All of these are considered part of the path, but for the sake of brevity, it is best to describe the Noble Eightfold Path. The Noble Eightfold Path includes eight factors that, when practiced correctly, lead to the cessation of suffering. These steps are right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right meditative concentration. The Noble Eightfold Path appears to be very simple, but to understand it thoroughly is not so easy. Let us take a look at each of the elements in the Noble Eightfold Path. 1. Right view. Right view is what enables us to maintain our faith in the truth when faced with inequalities or difficulties. Worldly knowledge can be both good and bad. Sometimes it is not reliable and can mislead us. Consider for a moment the Chinese character for ignorance, qi. This character is a compound of two other characters, ci, which means knowledge, and chang, which means ailment. When knowledge is corrupted, it turns into ignorance. Some people are extremely clever, but when they do bad things, it is doubly destructive. For example, both Nazi Germany's Hitler and the first emperor of the Qin dynasty were clever, yet diabolic. As we can see, a person's profound knowledge is not necessarily proportional to his morality. Knowledge is like a sharp knife. If not used properly, it can hurt others. Therefore, it is very important for us to know how to transform knowledge into wisdom and right view. Transforming knowledge into wisdom and right view is not easy. The principle is the same as in taking photographs. The focus, distance, and shutter speed must be adjusted accordingly before one can take a clear and beautiful picture. Similarly, one can see the true nature of life and the universe as it really is, only if one has the right view. If one lacks the right view when observing this earthly world, serious mistakes will be made. It is like peering at flowers through a heavy fog, or like blind people touching an elephant. 2. Right thought. Right thought is right volition, decision, and contemplation. It means not having thoughts of greed, anger, and ignorance. These three poisons of greed, anger, and ignorance are the main obstacles on our road to enlightenment. They continually occupy our minds and contaminate our pure nature. It is not easy to be rid of these three poisons. We have to exert effort constantly to maintain the right thinking needed to overcome these three poisons and enter the path to Buddhahood. 3. Right speech. Using right speech means that we should not lie, slander others, use harsh language, or utter frivolous speech. There is a Chinese proverb that says, "Illness comes from what you eat. Trouble comes from what you say." Our mouth is like a very sharp axe. If we say something inappropriate, we will not only hurt others, but also ourselves. Thus, it is very important that we choose our words wisely. 4. Right action. Right action means that we should not kill, steal, engage in sexual misconduct, or take intoxicants of any kind. Besides abstaining from doing unwholesome deeds, we also need to actively perform wholesome deeds. 5. Right livelihood. Right livelihood refers to the proper way of making a living, abstaining from unethical jobs, such as operating gambling houses, selling alcoholic beverages or instruments that can kill, and operating slaughterhouses. Also, part of right livelihood is having well-disciplined habits, such as getting an adequate amount of sleep, food, exercise, rest, and work. Right livelihood not only promotes efficiency and health, it also enables us to have a joyous family life and a stable society. 6. Right effort. Right effort means to apply our effort in 4 areas. First, to not produce unwholesome qualities that have not been produced. Second, to eliminate the unwholesome qualities that already exist. Third, to nurture wholesome qualities that have not yet been produced. And fourth, to maintain and multiply the wholesome qualities that already exist. 7. Right mindfulness. To have right mindfulness is to keep one's attention, awareness, and mind focused on the 4 foundations of mindfulness. First, the body is impure. Second, feelings will always result in suffering. Third, the mind is impermanent. Fourth, all phenomena do not have a substantial self. If we always contemplate the meaning of impermanence, suffering, and non-self, we will not be greedy for the triflings of this world. We will strive diligently for the truth. 8. Right meditative concentration. Right concentration refers to the 4 stages of meditative concentration, dhyana. What it really means is that we should concentrate our volition and thoughts through meditation. If we can fully master the 8 elements of this noble eightfold path, we will reach Buddhahood. So far, we have learned about the 4 noble truths, which can be compared to the process of curing a disease. The second noble truth, the cause of suffering, describes how a person becomes sick. After determining the root of the illness, we prescribe different methods for curing it, which is the 4th noble truth, the path that leads to the eradication of suffering. When the correct prescription is applied and the disease is cured, it is the 3rd noble truth, the cessation of suffering. Physical illnesses are cured with medicine, but mental illnesses are cured with Buddhism. When we look at the 4 noble truths through the principles of curing a disease, we can see that Buddhism is very logical and scientific. After his enlightenment, the Buddha started teaching what he had realized. The first time he taught the Dharma, he turned the wheel of Dharma 3 times by emphasizing different aspects of the 4 noble truths. The first turning was instructive. He taught about the contents and definitions of the 4 noble truths. He said, "Such is suffering, which is oppressive. Such is the cause of suffering, which beckons. Such is the cessation of suffering, which is attainable. Such is the path, which can be practiced." The second turning of the wheel was to provide encouragement. The Buddha persuaded his students to practice the 4 noble truths, to eradicate afflictions, and attain enlightenment. He told them, "Such is suffering. You should understand it. Such is the cause of suffering. You should end it. Such is the cessation of suffering. You should realize it. Such is the path. You should practice it." In the third turning, the Buddha shared his realization. The Buddha told his students that he himself had realized the 4 noble truths. He encouraged all sentient beings to put forth their effort and strive to realize the 4 noble truths just as he had done himself. The Buddha told them, "Such is suffering. I have understood it. Such is the cause of suffering. I have ended it. Such is the cessation of suffering. I have realized it. Such is the path. I have practiced it." From the emphasis the Buddha put on the Four Noble Truths, we know they must be very important. The Four Noble Truths are the fundamental teachings of Buddhism. They have been practiced for over 2,000 years. Their content is very profound indeed, such that it is difficult to express their profundity in such a short space. Although what you have just read is only a brief introduction, it has surely planted wholesome seeds for your future investigation of Buddhism.